Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Norway, Sweden, and Denmark for their recent efforts to prohibit people from marrying whomever they love when the ones they love are cousins. Norway has already banned cousin marriage, and both Sweden and Denmark recently announced a ban starting in 2026, which does still give all the firsties, secondsies, and thirdsies out there 2 years to get their matrimony on. Now, normally, we'd be reluctant to criticize the Scandinavians since they have a reputation for democratic socialism. But in this case, their banning of an alternative lifestyle, albeit one not normally included in the holy acronym string, is a real problem. As we all know, one of our key beliefs is that you cannot control whom you love, and therefore, it is wrong to prevent two consenting adults from marrying anyone, including your mother's brother's daughter. In fact, when you really think about it, the only reason such relationships are usually opposed is because they seem icky to the cousin lovophobes in our society. But of course, many of the lifestyles we believe in have a history of being oppressed for their supposed ickiness. That's why it's important for us to expand the holy acronym string again today to LGBTQIA2S+C. We care about the C's, and we celebrate the C&C Music Factory of Love. But another dimension of today's expulsion is that it's the Muslims primarily who engage in close family money through clan-based arranged marriage, something the Swedes think violates individual freedom and property rights. But as you know, Muslims are a protected class, and outlawing their religious practice is completely othering. So instead of thinking of cousinophilia as incest, realize it's just keeping it all in the family. Plus, the money you save on name tags at family reunions. Thus, for the double offense of oppressing Muslims and relativosexuals, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the British pint of beer. Yes, despite the pint measure being set in British law for more than 200 years, 20 ounces in the UK, by the way, unlike the shrimpy 16 ounces in the US, it's high time to eliminate the traditional measure for a glass of ale. The basic problems, as you might suspect, are obesity and alcoholism. A recent study showed that when pubgoers were offered the choice between a two-thirds pint and a one-third pint, instead of between a full pint and a half pint, they actually ended up consuming 10% less beer just because the portions are smaller. And the Welsh and the Scottish remained at least somewhat coherent for 30% longer. Naturally, this means the consumption of fewer calories and less alcohol, both health benefits for the notoriously unfit Brits. Now, it is true that despite asking 1,700 pubs to participate in the study, only 13 agreed, and none of them maintained the smaller sizes afterwards. But most of the non-participants admitted they're reluctant to advocate for such an overwhelmingly unpopular change, particularly because it goes against several centuries of established drinking tradition. But that's the pint point. Remember your Flanagan's third corollary of cognitive dissonance. The less the people want something, the more important it is to force it upon them. Breaking their will and making them thank you for it is always the number one goal of any social progressive. Also remember, we are always against tradition because violating tradition is the best mechanism for separating people from their past and anything that worked before. Upheaval and novelty are our most holy fetishes, and we love any change that makes people feel uncomfortable with something they've known all their lives. So up with the two-thirds pint and the one-third pint measure for British beer, ale, and stout. This is our pathway to thinner, healthier, less incoherent, and more obedient British subjects. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, we simply could not be prouder than we are of the University of California, San Diego for their new requirement that every student must take at least one course in climate change in order to earn a diploma. More than 40 courses will satisfy the requirement, including such popular offerings as planetary health, the astronomy of climate change, energy economics, the ethics of climate change, the intersection of gender and climate justice, indigenous approaches to climate change, and our personal favorite, how the environment has shaped literature. In addition to more effectively indoctrinating impressionable young Californians into our religion of scientific impersonation, UCSD is also preparing their wokelings for all the professional opportunities which will come with the new green economy, such as careers in carbon accounting, climate engineering, and environmental economics in the emerging world. Climate change studies is simply too important to let anyone graduate without learning about it. And so we celebrate this bold move by UCSD, and because of this announcement, we are pleased to name the University of California, San Diego as the first officially certified institute of higher re-education. Well done, group thinkers. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Rotten But Not to the Core, purveyors of the finest reclaimed charcuterie anywhere in North America. Have you ever had a bit of prosciutto with a little fur on it? A bit of blue cheese that had been orange originally? A bit of apple whose soft spot bursts gently under the pressure of your fingers? Well, these delightful pieces of food aren't completely inedible, just partially inedible. And Rotten But Not to the Core gathers them from other restaurants, cleans them off a little bit, and serves them to you like there was never anything wrong with them in the first place. So enjoy those soggy olives, cherish that pungent ham, and savor that fuzzy bread. At Rotten to the Core, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.